Today's daf is Shabbos daf Samach. We are holding on daf Nun Tesamid Beis. We are at the two dots. Velobik Tala. Again, this parak is Bamet Isha Yotza. We've already learned from Behema Yotza what one is allowed to permit their animals to have on them on Shabbos. Now we're moving into the world of human beings, what one is themselves allowed to grab on Shabbos. So we start with a woman, and then later on today we're going to get to the Mishnah about what a man is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos. Women, there are a lot more details, a lot more items, because women wear jewelry more often than men do, and that's why we discuss women first before we discuss men. But we're about to go through a lot of the items mentioned on the list at the end of the Mishnah that a woman is not allowed to go out with. We already mentioned the ear shel zahav, a certain type of jewelry, and now we're gonna go on straight down the list. V'lo b'ketala, about 7 lines from the bottom of the page. V'lo b'ketala, says the Mishnah, my katla. What is a katla? Min katapari. It is it's some type of bib that catches crumbs that a woman would wear around her neck. She can't go out with that on Shabbos. Nizamim. What types of rings are we talking about when we say nizamim? Nizmei ha'af. We're talking about nose rings. Okay, what about earrings? What would the halacha be by earrings? So the Mishnah apparently doesn't say. It says Rashi, second wide line, Aval nizmei ha'ozen mutarun lechatchila. Tetrichel ha'milsa lemishlof v'achvuyim epnei shoznem l'chusos b'kishurin. These items that we're talking about now are items that a woman is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos because there's a concern, not because they themselves are a masli, they're a tach, so it shouldn't be a problem. These are items that midar raisa are mutter to go out with, and that's why if she goes out with them, she's not chayev chatas. It's just an issur midrabanan. Why is it also midrabanan? Because she might take it off and show it off to her friends. So that's only when. Says Rashi, that's only on nose rings. But something that's a big tircha to remove in the first place, we're not worried that she's going to take it off to show off to her friends because she's not going to want to go through the tircha. Says Rashi, mutar lechat. Apparently they would walk around with their ears covered anyway, so to uncover the ears and then remove the earrings, it was too much of a hassle to do all that, so she was unlikely to take off the earrings and show them to her friends. Beis Yosef already writes that maybe nowadays women don't cover their ears when they wear earrings. Maybe it would be back to that same halacha again. But that's assuming that all nashim shalanu are not nashim chashuvos who never ever remove any jewelry to show off to their friends. Okay, nizat so, and also she's not allowed to go out with a signet ring that doesn't have a signet in it, a non-signet ring. So what is the implication is, that's what's asur midrabanan. To go out with a non-signet ring, a regular ring, would be asur midrabanan. What if it actually had a signet on it? So hayesh lechosam chayeva. So we can make the diuk that if it had a signet on it, then it wouldn't be a tachshit, then it's a masui, then she'd be chayevas, then it would be a real isur d'oraisa of carrying. So Alma Lav Tachshit, the clear implication of the Mishnah then is that a signet ring with the actual signet is not a Tachshit, it's a pure Masui, it'd be Chayiv. Frak the Gemara Minhu al Askastira Tachshit Einashim Tumayin. That Tumayim, the halach is that Tachshit Einashim are Mekabel Tuma Ve'elu Hein Tachshit Einashim. What are Tachshit Einashim? So we give several examples. Katlaos, Nizamim V'Tabaos. Chokers, rings, nose rings and finger rings, regular rings. V'Tabas Bein Shiyesh Alechosam Bein Shein Alechosam. And what does it say? These are Tachshit Einashim, and included on the list of Tachshit Einashim are both rings that have a signet and rings that don't have a signet. So isn't that Vinizmeyaf? And we also mentioned nose rings. Now, isn't that against our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah, although it didn't say it explicitly, said that a tabas she'en alechosam is a tachshit. The implication is that if it's yesh alechosam, that it's not a tachshit. Over here, you see that they're both on the list of tachshitin in the Mishnah in Kalim. So Gemara is going to have 3 answers to resolve this stira. Answer number 1, Amar Rabbi Zeira lo kasha, ha Rabbi Nechemya ha Rabbanan. It's a machlokes Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbanan. D'tanya, hi shal matachas l'chosama shal almog. If the ring is primarily made out of matachas, but the chosam on the ring is made out of almog, so it's not made out of metal, tamei, then the ring is tamei. He shall almog v'chosama shall matachas tahora. But if it's the reverse, then it's tahora. That's the shita of the Tanakama. Rabbi Nechemya mitame. Rabbi Nechemya says that even when the ring is made out of almog, but the chosam is made out of metal, it's still going to be tamei. Shai Rabbi Nechemya omer b'tabas halachachar chosama. By a taba'as, you always look at the chosam. That's the determinant when it comes to a taba'as. How does this answer our question? How do we see that the machlokas tanakama and Rabbi Nechemya relates to our stira? So if you look at Rashi, Har Rabbi Nechemya, about five lines before the end of Rashi on the page, Har Rabbi Nechemya damer ikr tabas adaita dechosam hu chayev eschatas. That when you if you assume like Rabbi Nechemya, you hold that the main part of the ring is the chosam. So then you're going to say that she's going to be chayev eschatas if she goes out with a ring that has a chosam on it. It's not going to be called a tachshit. Why? The chosam liisha lav tachshitu, because a chosam for a woman, a signet for a woman, is not considered a tachshit. They ain't derech liisha lachtam lishloch shluchim shein chosam asli elu adam gadol mamuna, because it was very uncommon for a woman to need a chosam for official documents. It was a woman wasn't a notary very often. It wasn't something that she would do. It was usually something for an adam gadol mamuna, someone who had some sort of srara, someone who had some sort of position of authority, which women obviously in those times never ever had. So it wasn't considered a takshit for a woman, so it would be a masui. Vadiktani takshitu, Rabbanan damri kufa shel tabas ikr. The one that says that it is a takshit, that even if it has a chosam, it's a takshit, that's because they're assuming like the Rabbanan, that even when a ring has a chosam, the ikr part of the ring is the ring. It's not the chosam. So the ring itself is still a takshit for the woman. Vadaitit tabas nafkabe, vatabas vaday takshitu. She's going out primarily with a ring. She's not so focused on the chosam, she's more focused on the ring, and the ring certainly is a tachshit. So that way it's talui in the machlokas Rabbanan and Rabbi Nechemya. So it's not a stira, it's a machlokas. And once we're mentioning, we just finish off the rest of the brisa of Rabbi Nechemya, that by other kelim, what are the ikar parts of the kelim? Ba'ol halachachar samlonov. When we're dealing with a yoke on an animal, the material that the pegs are made out of determines the tumah status of the yoke. If the pegs are made out of metal, then they are tamei. The bekolav halach achar masmerosav. In a kolav, says Rashi at the top, who come in amud rachav milamato v'dak milamal. It's like a post that's wide at the bottom, narrow at top. Umitaltel v'achen v'nima amidol v'nei chalon chanuso umesmarin tchubin bo v'tolin ben avnetim rutzuos limchar. The storekeeper, the shopkeeper, would be able to move it from place to place. He would put it in front of his store, and he would have a little hooks coming out of it, and he would hang jewelry or little trinkets off of this post. So in terms of that post, you want to know how to determine its status. So you look at the nails, the little hooks that they would hang the various items from. That's the ikar part of this post, and that determines its tumah and tahara status. Besulam, when it comes to a ladder, halachachar shlivosav, we look at the steps, at the rungs on the ladder, to determine whether it's tameh or not. Ba'arsa, when you're dealing with a scale, halachachar shal shalosav, you look at the chains. And the Chum say, nah, you always look at the maimid. You always look at that which, as if you look at Rashi, ha-maimid gufa taba'as maimid achosam. By the ring, the actual ring is what holds the chosam in place. Va'ol maimid asamlonav. And therefore, by the yoke, we don't look at the pegs. It's the yoke that holds the pegs. Va'kolav es masmerosav. And we don't look at the hooks on the shopkeeper's post, because it's the post that holds the hooks. Vasulam ashlivosav, and the opposite of everything that Rabbi Nechemya said. We don't look at the rungs on the ladder, because it's the ladder, the base of the ladder, the frame of the ladder that holds the rungs on the ladder. Shebem kavuim, because that's where everything is kavua. So that's how we would determine the tumah status of it. But all that is just parenthetical. The main point was that we have machlok Rabbi Nechemya on the chachamim in regards to a ring, what the ikar part of a ring is. If you hold the ikar part of the ring is a chosam, so then when a woman wears a tabas sheish la chosam, it's a pure masui, it's a burden, she's chayv chatas. If you hold the ikar part of the tabas is the ring itself, so then it's still a tachshit, and a woman's not going to be chayv a chatas for wearing it. But now we have two other answers to resolve the contradiction of why it is that our Mishnah assumed that a tabas sheish la chosam is not a tachshit, and yet the Mishnah and Kalim assumed that it, I think it's a Mishnah and Kalim, what it's saying, yeah, Mishnah and Kalim assumed that it is a tachshit. So two other answers. Rava Amar, answer number two, let's studum katani. That the Mishnah in Kalim is not saying that a taba'as sheyesh le'achosam is a tachshit. What it's is a tachshit for women. What it's saying is that there are many tachshitim for women, including tachshitim for women are taba'os. And by the way, taba'as sheyesh le'achosam, taba'as sheyesh le'achosam are both mekabel tumah. for different reasons. Yeshla chosam takshit the ish. If it has a chosam, so it's not a takshit for a woman, but it is a takshit for a man. Einala chosam takshit the isha. If it's einala chosam, then it's a takshit for a woman. So that's how to read the Mishnah. Kelim, it's not saying that a tabash yeshla chosam is a takshit for a woman. It's not, and a woman would definitely be chayiv achatos for carrying a tabash yeshla chosam, for wearing a tabash yeshla chosam on Shabbos. Answer number three, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Tuma Ashabis Karamis. He says, how could you ask a stira between the halachas of Tuma and halachas of Shabbos? Tuma, when it comes to Tuma, Kli Maisa Amarachmana Uklihu. When it comes to Tuma, what determines whether it's Makabal Tuma? If it's a usable Kli, if it's considered a Kli Maisa, something that you can use. So this is a Kli. A Tabash Yeshla Chosim is certainly a Kli. Shabbos Mishum Masui Amarachmana, and by Shabbos, the whole issue is that of Masui. Einale Chosim Tachshit, if it doesn't have a signet on it, it's a Tachshit. Yeshla Chosim Masui, if it has a Chosim on it, it's a Masui. Rashi elaborates a little further. Tuma Shabbos Karamis Hadik Tani V'Tapas Bein Sheishla Lav Aresha Kai Dekari Le Tachshit Nashim. When the Mishnah in Kalim says Tapas Bein Sheishla Chosam Bein Sheina La Chosam, it's Mekabel Tuma. It's not going on the previous line where we called all these things Tachshite Nashim. We're not saying these are the Tachshite Nashim, and the list goes on to include both the Tabas that has a Chosam and not. No. Elahachikamer, this is what it's trying to tell me. V'tabas sham rushanitmes, bein sheyesh alachosam, delav tachshitu, miu kli maisuhu, bein shein alachosam, davi tachshit. What we're saying is that a Tabas that's mekabel tumma could be a Tabas with a Chosam because it's usable, not because it's a Tachshit, but because it's usable, it's a Kli Maisa. A Tabas without a Chosam is Mekabel Tumah because it's a Tachshit. So that, V'chi Katani Reisha Tachshit Einashim, Ashe Einala Chosam. When the Mishnah in Kalim that we quoted said, Eilu Hein Tachshit Einashim, these are the Tachshit Einashim, that was talking about Katlaos, Nezamim, Tabas, She'ena Le'achosam. But when we talk about Tabas, She'esh Le'achosam, that's not on the list of Tachshit Einashim. It just happens to be something that's Mekabel Tumah for a different reason, simply because it's a Kli Maisa, it's something that's a usable Kli. So those are the three answers, how to resolve the contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Kalim. Vayter on the list in our Mishnah of items that a woman, L'chadchila, is not allowed to walk out with on Shabbos, V'lo B'machat She'ena Nekuva. She's not allowed to go out with a needle that doesn't have a hole in one end of it. Normally a sewing needle has a hole in one end so that you could stick the thread through that hole. You could thread a needle, but if it doesn't have a hole, it's not nearly as usable as a sewing needle. So the Maichazia, so it says, well, what's she going to use it for? Shouldn't it be completely unusable? And therefore, it's a total masui. It should probably also be muksa if it has no use. But why isn't she chai v'chatas for carrying it outside on Shabbos? Sam Rav Yosef, hold the isha ogeres basa'ara. Since a woman could collect her hair in it, she can use it to hold back her hair. Any hair that comes out of the knot that she ties her hair in, she'll use that needle to stick in the stray hairs. So it is usable for her on Shabbos. Amalei Abaye v'tahavi kibiris tahora v'tishteri. But why shouldn't it be just like a garter, which we assume is permissible to go out with on Shabbos? Rashi explains v'tahavi kibiris detanamas nisan. We're going to see in a few days from now. Biris tahora milatame, that a garter belt is not going to be a mitame. The yotzin bun, she's allowed to walk out with it on Shabbos. Vukuminatz ada shaosol l'shokayim al bate shokeha lahadkan shaliyipul al raglets, to hold up her stockings. Why is it tahora? Delav tachshiti, because it's not a tachshit. El tashmish l'bate shokeha v'avi ketaba asakelim damran tahoras pirkin delael. It's not a tachshit. It has practical function. It holds up her stockings. That's what it's for. The yotzin bun. Now, why is she allowed to walk out with it on Shabbos? And this is the key for us. Why is she allowed to walk out with it on Shabbos? It's not a tachshit. Shet sarik la mbate shokeha v'lave masui v'yotzin dekivan dil tzniusahi lo shalfa machvi. Why is she allowed to walk out with it? She would never take it off to show it off to anybody. So it's not a masui, and in terms of being a tachshit, she would never remove it to show it to anyone, because then her stockings would fall down. So for tznius, she would never do that. V'hai machat nami l'tznius teser b'isha erva v'lo mechavya. So the needle also, a woman would never take the needle out of her hair, because the whole point of the needle was to hold her hair in place. And Sarah Bisha Erva, so it would be considered to be an exposure of her erva in public if she were to take it out of the hair. So we're back to the question. The Gemara's kasha therefore is, why is she not allowed to go out lechadchila with this needle in her hair? It's not an nisr d'oraisa, and there's not even there shouldn't even be an nisr d'rabbanan that she'll come to show it to anybody. Ella Tirgum Ravad, back in the Gemara, Tirgum Ravad and Arsha, Kamed Rav Yosef, Hol V'isha Cholekes Basa'ara. It's not that she is Ogeres Basa'ara, but rather it's that she's Cholekes Basa'ara, that she divides her hair, she parts her hair using this item, this needle. So, Frak the Gemara, B'Shabbos L'may Chazia. Yeah, but on Shabbos you can't part your hair, so what would she use it for on Shabbos? So, Amarava, Tas Shel Zav Yeshlal Rosha. One end of this pin had a piece of gold at one end. It had a gold plate on one end. B'chol Cholekes Basa'ara. So, on a weekday it had a very practical function, and that it helped her part her hair. B'Shabbos manichasa k'neged padachta. On Shabbos she would turn it into a piece of jewelry. She would put it near her temples as a piece of jewelry that would hang down, that had gold hanging down. So it was still used on Shabbos. So the Gemara's kasha b'Shabbos maichazia. So Rashi says, Hare b'Shabbos ein cholekes sa'ara, that a woman is not allowed to part her hair on Shabbos. So Tosos, the Rashba, the Ritva, they all ask, what do you mean? Who says that it's asur to part your hair on Shabbos? The sugya about combing hair on Shabbos is not really a Shabbos sugya. It's really a Maseches Nazir sugya. What the Gemara discusses is a Nazir allowed to comb his hair, wash his hair? Nazir is not allowed to remove any hairs. So to what extent are we concerned that with every stroke of his brush, of his comb, that he's going to be removing hairs? So the halacha is by a Nazir, Chofef, And because it's a davar sheinu miskaven, as long as it's not a pesik reishe, as long as it's just a davar sheinu miskaven, that sometimes a loose hair will come out, but it's not a pesik reishe, it's not something that's definitely going to happen, it's going to be mutter. So the way these other rishonim understand this kasha, b'Shabbos l'may chazia, is not, it's usher to part your hair on Shabbos. No, that's probably not a pesik reishe that you'll remove hair if you just part the hair on Shabbos. No, what it's asking, according to the majority of rishonim, is, hare eina tachshit, it's not a tachshit, and therefore, if it's not a tachshit, it should be asur to go out with on Shabbos because it doesn't serve as a tachshit. It should be a masui. So the Shor Mitzvah and Baal Lachov here points out that perhaps this is Rashi the Shitaso. In the Mishnah later on in Tzadi Dalar and Beis, Rashi says Misakena Sa'ara b'Misrak o b'Yodeha. When a woman parts her hair, that's like being misakin her hair. So he said she could do it with a comb or with her hands. So Rashi says it b'stam b'Shabbos eino cholekes, because you can't do it with any special kli dafka used for this purpose. Okay, so that's the question in general when it comes to combing hair. So if it's a psik reshe, certainly someone's going to comb their whole head and with a normal brush, and it's a psik reshe that hair's going to come out, then it would be us. And the other factor is that the Gemara raises the possibility that it's not even a davar sheinu miskaven. Depending on the item that's going to come out, it might be a davar miskaven, because hairs that are not firmly attached to the head, but it tend to fall out of line. They don't conform with the rest of the hairs. So you actually do want to remove those. You'd rather those just be gone so that they don't mess up the hair. So then you have the issue of, forget about davar sheinu miskaven, that's a davar miskaven. That's part of what you're doing when you brush your hair, is to remove the hairs that won't conform to where you're trying to get your hairs to go. Okay, says Mishnah. Now we've already discussed the various types of jewelry of a woman. Now we move on to a man. What a man is not allowed to go out with. Lo yetze ha'ish b'sandal ha'masumar. A man is not allowed to go out with, and the majority of our daf is going to be about this topic, the rest of our daf is going to be about this topic, a sandal ha'masumar, a shoe that has nails in it, a man is not allowed to go out with. V'lo b'yachad b'zman shein barag l'maka, and also a person should not go out with one shoe on Shabbos unless he has a wound on his foot. What's wrong with going out with one shoe? So Rashi says two possibilities. From the Yerushalmi, he says that the lo lichshidei detal me lechavrei tusekanfei, that it's going to be chashad, it's like a marasayan issue. If he's if he's wearing one shoe, people are going to think he's carrying the other shoe in his bag. He's carrying the other shoe under his coat. So that's one problem. V'loshen Rabosei says Rashi Duma Mechaychi Alei V'Shakel D'Shalaflei Umamtei Biyadei B'Shichcha Shabbos. Let's say a guy, one shoe broke, so he's at least protecting one of his feet by wearing one shoe. But people are going to start laughing at him that he's wearing one shoe, so he's going to be so embarrassed when people start making fun of him that he's wearing one shoe. He's going to remove the shoe that he's wearing and he's going to end up carrying that shoe. So maybe that's the reason. But if he has a makom, if he's clearly injured, if he clearly you see that one foot is bandaged up with a cast or whatever, so you're not going to laugh at him for wearing one shoe, nor will anyone suspect that he's carrying the other shoe. Obviously, the other shoe's not going on his foot today. V'lobit tefillin, back in the Mishnah, a person's not allowed to go out wearing tefillin on Shabbos. V'lobit kameh, we'll get to that in the Gemara. V'lobit kameh abizman she'enu min amumcha. And also not with an amulet, if it's not an amulet that's known to be a one that's effective and that works. But a kameh amumcha apparently is mutter, because it's considered like part of the malbush for a chola. V'lobit shirayon, v'lobit kasta, v'lobit b'makfayim. The Gemara will explain what each of these items are. V'im yatzeinu chayiv chatas. But if man goes out with these things, he's not chayiv karban chatos. All these things we say lo yetzei ish lechora, they apply to a woman as well. We just mentioned ish. The Maram Bennett says that the reason we mention ish is because in general we always speak b'lashon zachar. Elamai over here, the parak is b'mei isha, because we started with a whole bunch of women's pieces of jewelry. Now we're moving into things that apply to both men and women. But all the items of jewelry are usually only for women. Sandal Masumar Maitanis. So ask the Gemara, what's the problem with the nailed sandal? What's the problem with going out there on Shabbos? So the Gemara says there was a terrible Maisa that happened that caused a gezeira that we're not allowed to wear a nailed sandal. Except there are three versions of what the Maisa was. So version number one of what the Maisa was, the Sfasemis actually says they're not three versions, three separate stories. All three of these stories that we're about to read all happen with the Sandal Masumar. One freak accident happens, you're not going to make a gezeira. I'm already muchzak that people are wearing Sandal Masumar and it's causing problems. Three different times they made a gezeira against Sandal Masumar. So let's see, what are the three stories? Number one, Amar Shmuel, Shalfi Agzeira Hayu. These were people who escaped a gezeira of the Malchus against the Jews. V'yunichvan b'ma'ara, and therefore the Jews were hiding in a cave. V'amru, and they made a rule, and all the Jews that were hiding in the cave made a rule, nichnas yichnas vayotze al yetze. Anyone wants to come in, come in, but no one leaves, because once someone leaves, it could give away our hiding space, so we don't want anyone to leave. Nepach sandal shalach mehen. One of the people was wearing his shoe backwards. His shoe flipped around on his foot somehow. Hard to imagine how that happens, but somehow it flipped around. Kasmurinheim echad mehen yotze. So everyone saw the footprint facing the other direction, as if it was going outside of the cave, and they thought someone left. V'ru'u oivim, and they thought that he must have been caught, and the enemies must have seen given away the hiding place of the enemies. V'achshav bon aleim, and now they were about to be attacked. Dachu zebazeh, so they trampled each other, they pushed each other, caused complete chaos in the cave, and there weren't sufficient fire exits. V'hargu zezeh, yoser mimash hargu behem oivim. The ensuing panic caused more death from just killing each other than the enemies ever killed in the first place. So that was one terrible maisa that occurred because of a sandal amasumar. The sandal amasumar leaves a much more noticeable footprint. So that's why it left a footprint. Second version of the story, Rabbi Eloi ben Elazar Omer b'ma'ara ha'yoshin. They were sitting in a cave. V'shamu kol me'al gabi ha'ma'aran. They heard noise on top of the cave. So kasvurin ha'yusha bo aleim oivin. They heard that, they thought that the enemies were coming to attack. Dachu zebazeh, again, a complete panic ensued. V'hargu zezeh yosem hashargu ben oivim. You step on somebody with a regular shoe, it's not going to kill him. You step on him with a sandal and a sumar, with nails at the bottom of your shoe, so people died. People died from being trampled. It was, what do they call it? Like Black Friday, right? That we had here in Valley Stream, in North Valley Stream. So people go crazy, and they trample each other. So imagine if a person was being trampled by sandal and masumar, certainly it's going to be very, very dangerous. Rami Bar Yecheskel, third version of the story, Amar v'beis ha'knesses ha'yu yoshvin, v'shamu kol me'achori beis ha'knesses. They were sitting in shul, and they heard noise behind the shul. Kasurin Hayisha Ba'aleim Ivan. Imagine the fear that these people lived in there. They were, as soon as they hear noise behind the shul, so they assumed that they were being attacked. Dafku Zeba Zeba, Hargu Zeba Yelsa Mesh Hargu Ben Ivan. They again trampled into each other and they killed each other more than the enemies ever killed them. There's Yerushalmi over here that says that the Benos Yisrael were Mapilos Bira Osam Sandala Masumar, that the reason they made the Gezerah ultimately was that not that these Maisim happened and therefore we don't want to know, meaning, and therefore what? We're worried it's going to happen again? Is that why? So it should only be also B'Shas HaGzerah. Maybe in 21st century America where there are no Gezerahs Baruch Hashem against the Jews gathering and davening or whatever, so maybe there should be no such Gezerah of Sandala Masumar. So the Yerushalmi says, no, it's not a Gezerah that we're afraid it's going to happen again. The Gezerah is that these stories were so frightening and they were so terrifying that when a woman would see a Sandala Masumar on Shabbos, she would all of a sudden become terrified. And so terrified that if she was pregnant, she would be Mapil the fetus. That's why the Sandala Masumar is also. That's what Yerushalmi says. Pashupshad, the Ritva writes that Pashupshad is like Rashi says, that we don't want it to happen again. So we made this Gezerah. The Ritva says the third possibility. Not that we don't want it to happen again, we don't think it's going to happen again, nor that it's about the women. It's that there's a mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yantif, and it's going to ruin everybody's Onik Shabbos when you bring to mind these terrible stories that happened. So, Ba'osa Shah Amrus, that's why they said, Al Yetzi Adam B'Sandal Masumar. A person can't go on the Shabbos with the Sandal Masumar. So, Frakta Gemara, Ihachi B'chol Namin Litzar. If that's the case, you shouldn't be able to do it on a weekday either. Meaning, whichever Shita you want to go with. Women are mapilos because they're scared that would happen on a weekday. Except for the shita of the Ritva, right? So we'll see in a second. But the shita of Rashi also, that you're just afraid it's going to happen again. Why wouldn't it happen on a weekday? So Maisa Kiyava B'Shabbos Havas. So Gemara says no, because the Maisa Shahaya was on Shabbos. So they only asked it on Shabbos. So Frekta Gemara B'Yom Tov Lishteri. So then let it be Mutar on Yantif. It didn't happen on Yantif. Alama Tanan, why then does the Mishnah say now, when it comes to Yantif, Avalo Sandal Masumar, Avalo Minil Sheino Tafur, that you're not allowed to wear Sandal Masumar on Yantif either. So why not? If the Maisa happened on Shabbos, didn't happen on Yantif. So B'Shabbos, my time, Adika Kinufya. Now, what's special about Shabbos that caused this to happen? Why did every single one of these stories happen on Shabbos? Because people gathered together in large crowds on Shabbos. B'Yantif Nami, Ika Kinufya. So you have that same concern on Yantif. And therefore, we make the Gzera for Yantif as well. The Gemara, okay, so anytime there's a large gathering of Jews, we should make the Gzeira. Tainus Tzibur, Ika Kinufya Litzer. Tainus Tzibur, everyone gets together to daven, so that should also be Aser. And the Gemara, Maisa Kiava, the Kinufya di Isura. Hacha Kinufya de Atera Hava. No, the Kinufya di Isura doesn't mean an Aser gathering. It means a gathering on a day that's Aser to do Malacha. The Maisa happened in a large gathering of Jews on a day where we're not allowed to do Malacha. A Tainus Tzibur is a large gathering of Jews, but it's a day that's mutter to do malacha. All of this is really one big answer. The answer is that we only make the gezeira in cases that are similar to the story that happened. We always keep it dumya de maisa shahaya. We always try to keep it as similar to the story that happened as possible. Tainus Tzibur is not similar to the story that happened. Says the Gemara, Vafil Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, Da Amr lo asu ella biyardein ubesvina ukemaisa shahaya. What about the sheet of Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, who says that things have to be exactly like the Maisa Shahaya, when you're going to make a Gzera? The context of Rabbi Akiva Rashi fills us in, Beperchomer Bekodesh, by someone who's carrying the Mei Chatas and the Efer Chatas. You know, the Chazal were very, very careful that the people who dealt with the Efer Para Aduma and the Mechatos for the Para Aduma never come into any sort of anything close to contact with Tuma. So, B'yardin u'b'sfina sh'nimtzik ha'zayis min ha'meis tochav b'karkisa shal sfina. They're once bringing the Mechatos on a boat and they found a k'zayis min ha'meis stuck into the ground of the boat, into the bottom of the boat. V'nitmu when it became Tame. So they had to make a gzera. So what was the gzera? V'kami rabbanon d'gazur shal yavir ad Mechatos b'sfina. So the gzera was, they can't transport mechatos on a boat anymore, v'lo ala gesher, nor over a bridge, v'lo yasitim al pnei ha-mayim, can't float them on a river, echad yardein v'echad char naros, and it's not just yardein, any river, Upalig Rabbi Chanina Va'amar. Rabbi Chanina says, no, if we're going to make a gzera, the gzera can only be exactly like the case that caused us the problem. Va'amar lo asrel b'yardin u'besvina v'lo gesher v'shar narus. It's only on the Yarden, only in a boat. It's not a bridge, it's not other rivers. The gzera shagazr machlis ma'ora, elam ligzarela ma'ena ma'ora. Whenever you make a gzera, you can only include the exact situation that happened. So says the Gemara, what happened over here? We had stories that happened on Shabbos, and yet we make things asr and yantav, we make wearing a sandal m'sumar asr and yantav as well. What about Rabbi Chanina? Would Rabbi Chanina hold that in yantav it's mutter? So the Gemara tells us that even Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, who says lo asr el b'yardin u'besvinu k'may sashaya, that gzera generally has to be made exactly in the same situation that happened. That's because the Yarden is fundamentally different than every other river. It's wider, it's deeper. There's more of a chance of a Gzayis Min HaMeis being there. But the concern for people trampling each other on Yantav is the same as people trampling each other on Shabbos. If people are gathered together in Shul and it's a large crowd and they think that there's something to fear, the concern of trampling is going to be the same on Yantav as it will on Shabbos. And all the halachos of Yantav feels the same as Shabbos. It's not like we learn Ein Ben Yantav L'Shabbos El Ochel Nefesh Bulvad. The only difference is between Ochel Yantav and Ochel Shabbos is Ochel Nefesh. So you're allowed to do Melachos of Ochel Nefesh on Yantav, you're not allowed to do Melachos of Ochel Nefesh on Shabbos. Other than that, there's no differences between Yantav and Shabbos. Tosfos points out that we're quoting this out of context, because yes, there is such a shita that Ein Ben Yantav L'Shabbos El Ochel Nefesh Bulvad. That is the shita of Beis Shammai. And we paskin, like Beis Hillel, that there are more differences between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Namely, most importantly, that we allow malachos of Ochel Nefesh even when you're not doing them for Ochel Nefesh. You're allowed to do malachos of Havara and Bishul and all sorts of malachos that you're normally allowed to do for the sake of Ochel Nefesh, even when it's not for the sake of Ochel Nefesh, as long as there's a Tzorech Hayom Ktsas, as long as there's any sort of Tzorech Hayom. So that's why you're allowed to, according to Beis Hillel, wash your hands and face with warm water on Yom Tov. It's not Ochel Nefesh. Yeah, but it's a Tzorech Hayom, so you're allowed to warm up water to wash your hands and face. So we actually include a much more, we have a much broader difference between Shabbos and Yantav, but still the point is the same, that it all boils down to the fact that these malachos were first mutter for Ochel Nefesh, then mitoch shu'tu l'tzorech Ochel Nefesh, u'namishlo l'tzorech Ochel Nefesh. So it really boiled down to that one thing. But primarily, Shabbos and Yantav are pretty much the same. But what emerges from this Gemara is that in general, when we make gezeros, we try to keep it pretty close to the original source of the gezera. There's a taz in Nor Chaim, Simul Kuf Pei, Sivkan Gimel. There's a minhag to cover the knife at the time of Birch Samazon. So says the taz, but not in Shabbos and Yantiv. Why not in Shabbos and Yantiv? So he says, Beis Yosef gives two reasons. Second reason that he quotes is the name of Rabbeinu Simcha. Uvi Shapa Machas Higiach of the Birchus Bonu Yerushalayim V'Niskor Churban Abayis V'Taka Sakin Bibitino. That the story happened. What's the reason for this minhag? That a guy was benching. He got to the bracha of Bonu Yerushalayim, and he remembered Yerushalayim. He got so depressed, so upset that we don't have Yerushalayim, thinking about what's on Har Abayis right now, that he decided to stab himself. So Pirush HaTaz, so the Taz writes that the Gezerah was made Me'ena Ma'ora. That Gezerah happened on a weekday. So that's why we only make this Gezerah on the Minog of covering the knife is only on a weekday, not on a Shabbos. Well, what does that have to do with Shabbos, weekday? Why would you only make it on? Because that was the Ma'aseh Shaya. So we always make the Gezerah similar to the Ma'aseh Shaya. The Bali Musar point out that, well, because one Meshugana one time decided to stab himself in the Bracha Bani Yerushalayim, how many of us are really going to run into that problem? Meaning, you know what, we have to make Gezerah for all times because one Meshugana. So that's what the Bali Musar point out. No, the reason we have this Minag is not because Chazal are concerned we're going to do it. It's because Chazal wanted to remind us that Jews are supposed to care about Yerushalayim. So much so that there was once a Jew, he wasn't right in doing this, but there was once a Jew who cared so much about Yerushalayim that he stabbed himself over his agony over the loss of Yerushalayim. So it's to remind us of what we're supposed to, of the prominent place that Yerushalayim is supposed to have in our minds. Am Ravida and our hearts. Am Ravida Amr Shmuel. Lo Shanu Ela L'Chazek. So Ravida Amr Shmuel, now we're just going to add a lot of details about this Isser of Sandal Amasumar. So Ravida Amr Shmuel says, the Isser is only when the nails are there to be Mechazek the shoe. that it makes it a stronger shoe. Avulunoi, but if they're decorative, mutter, then it's going to be mutter. Sometimes you have stitching in the shoe that holds the shoe together, and sometimes they have stitching in the shoe that's dafka there to give a certain look. So the same with the nails. Sometimes the nails are there for functional reasons. Sometimes they're there just for decorative reasons. So if it's just for decorative, then it's okay. The kamalunai, how many nails are in there that you know that it's for decorative reasons? Rabbi Yochanan amar chamish bazeh v'chamish bazeh. Rabbi Yochanan says if it's five on one end of the shoe, five on the other end of the shoe, then it's decorative. Rabbi Chanina amar sheva bazeh v'sheva bazeh. Seven on one end of the shoe, seven on the other end of the shoe. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon bar Abba azbrach l'didi. He says, I'll explain to you what I mean. Seven on one shoe, seven on the other shoe. So he says, when I say five on one shoe, five on the other shoe, what I mean is shtayim mikan v'shtayim mikan v'achas p'tarsiyosav. I mean, two on one end of the shoe, two on the other end of the shoe, and one on the shoe straps. And that's how you end up with five on each shoe. The Rabbi Chanina, when Rabbi Chanina says seven on each shoe, he means gimel mikan, v'gimel mikan, v'achas p'tarsiyosav. That three on one end of the shoe, three on the other end of the shoe, and one nail by the straps. Meisve sandal anota osel lo sheva divrei Rabbi Nosson, that if you have a sandal anota, Rashi explains it means that the bottom of the shoe is not even. It's thick on one side and narrow on the other side. Sometimes you have people who don't walk perfectly evenly on their feet, so the shoe wears out on one side before it wears out on the other side. So if you have a sandal anota, so you make sheva divrei Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson holds you could put seven nails in it. Rabbi Matir b'yud gimel, and Rabbi says you could even have 13 nails. So Bishlam the Rabbi Chanina who damak Rabbi Nosson. So Rabbi Chanina works out great because he works out with Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson said seven nails, right? Seven is the right number. El Rabbi Yochanan Damar Kaman. But who's Rabbi Yochanan holding like? Because the one who argued on Rabbi Nosson was Rabbi Chanina. He said, I'm sorry, he was Rabbi, and Rabbi said 13. He didn't say five. So where would you get the number five from? Says Gemara, there's a third sheet in Tanaim. Hu Damar Rabbi Nosson. He's assuming, like the shita of Rabbi Nurai, the Tanya Rabbi Nurai Omer, hey mutter v'sheva aser, that five is mutter, five nails are mutter, seven nails is already aser. Amalei ifa l'rabba barbarchana, atun talmidei Rabbi Yochanan, aviduk Rabbi Yochanan. So ifa, who is a person, Rashi says, shem chacham, he was the son of Rabbi Rachva de Pumbadisa. So he told Rabbi barbarchana, you happen to be a talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, so good, aviduk Rabbi Yochanan. So you're a chreis, you should follow your Rabbi, you should go like Rabbi Yochanan. Anna nevik Rabbi Chanina, but the rest of us who aren't talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to hold like Rabbi Chanina. What's the din if it has five nails in it? What's the halacha? So Amalei, afilu zayin mutter. He says, what do you mean it's the halacha? We said even if it has up to seven, it's mutter. So of course if it has only five nails, it's going to be mutter. Tesmai. He said, okay, what if it has nine? Amalei, afilu ches asr. Why did you ask about nine? If it has eight already, it's asr. We said seven is mutter. Any more than seven is asr. So why would you jump to nine? A certain shoemaker asked the shaila of Rabbi Ami. Shoemakers had to know these halachas, right? They had to be able to know their trade. Every Jewish artisan has to know the halachas nogea to his trade. So this shoemaker has to know the halachas of shoes. So he asked, tafrumi bifnim mahu. What if you do the stitching on the inside of the shoe? Rashi says, shenasan minol shel or lifnim min asandal. Tafru, they sew in a leather like sock inside the harder outer shell of the shoe. So what would be the din? Amalei mutter v'lo yadana my taima. He says it's mutter, but I don't remember why. So Amar Ravashi v'lo yadana my taima kivin tafru mi b'fnim havalei minal. He says I'll tell you why. Once it's tafru mi b'fnim, it's a minal. B'sandal goes be'rabanan, but minal lo goes be'rabanan. There goes there a sandal. There weren't goes there a shoe. Once it's tafru mi b'fnim, it's a totally different type of chefza. It's they were only made a gzeira on the sandal. In Shulchan Aruch, in Ebenezer, when we talk about the Ishus, in Hilchas Chalitza, in Simukuf Samach Tes, it says that the minal chalitza has to be domal a sandal, that the chalitza shoe has to be like a sandal. V'yesh omrim sh'atfira tia mibachutz, Shulchan Aruch says. Some say dafka, the stitching has to be on the outside and not on the inside. So the Baragola, the side of Shulchan Aruch says, yeah, look at Rashi, Shabbos, Samach Amud Beis. This is the very definition. This defines the difference between a minal and a sandal. So where do we ever have halachas of shoes anymore? We don't wear shoes with nails sticking out of the bottom anymore anyhow. I guess cleats, but we don't generally wear shoes with nails sticking out of the bottom. So for chalitza, the chalitza shoe, I don't know if you've ever seen a chalitza shoe. It's a funny looking thing. They have a lot of requirements to make the chalitza shoe fit all the halachic requirements. So okay, so this is one of them. What if you make it shaped like a kalvus? A kalvus is like a letter ches. It goes around like a horseshoe. So amalei mut, meaning the nail goes around from one end to the other. So amalei mutter. So that's mutter, meaning it doesn't stick out pointy at the bottom because the two ends both stick into the shoe. So he says mutter. It mernami amar biyos rav chanina aso kumin kalvus mutter. That if you make it like a kalvus, it's mutter. Amar of sheshes chifahu kulo bimismar. If you cover the entire shoe with nails in order that the ground shouldn't eat into the shoe, it's to protect the actual shoe itself, then it's going to be mutter. Tanya kavasei Rav Sheshes. We have a brayso that says just like Rav Sheshes. Lo yetzer ish besandal mesumar, v'lo yitayel mibayis lebayis afilu mita lemita. Person shouldn't go out with a sandal mesumar. Shouldn't walk around even from one house to another, even from bed to bed. Av metaltel naso lechasos bo sakli v'lusmach bo kirei mita. But he's allowed to move it to cover a kli with it or to support a bedpost with it. For Rablazer Rabbi Shimon Oser. Rablazer Rabbi Shimon says you're not allowed to use it for anything. Meaning it's not considered a kli. We're afraid you're gonna, or maybe it is considered. But we're afraid you're going to come to wear it. Rashi says, "Dilmasal noalo," and it's like a gzera the gzera that we don't. You know, the gzera was made you're not allowed to wear it, so we make a gzera that you're not even allowed to be metaltel according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Sometimes we make gzera the gzera, sometimes we don't. So apparently, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, this is a viable enough reason to make a second level gzera. Nashu rov mi masmerosav minishtayer bo dalero hey mutarv. Most of the nails have come out, but four or five remain, then it's mutter. V'Rebbe matir ad sheva. Rebbe says up until seven is still mutter. Chifo ba'or mi l'mata v'kavalo mi mesmoros mi l'mala mutter. If you cover it with leather on the bottom and you stick the nails in on top, then it's mutter. Aso k'min kalvo, so k'min tas, so k'min yasei, do shechifo kulo b'mesmoros k'lo shechite karka o'chalto, mutter. If you make it like a shape of a ches, or like a bar, or like a steak, or you cover it in nails in order that the karka doesn't eat into it, it's all mutter. Hagufa kasha. So frankly, Mara, wait a second. I'm written this, and now we're going to explain a lot of what we just said in this brisa. This Tanya Kavasi Drav Sheshes. That's the brisa. So frankly, Mara, hagufa kasha. I'm written Nashu Rav Masmaros of Afak of the Nishtayr Beituva. You said that if most of the nails come out, even though lots of nails are still there, it's okay. Vahadatani Arbo Chamesh in Tfei Lo. But then you say if there are four or five nails that are left in, it's okay. But more than that, it's not okay. So which is it? I'm Rav Sheshes Lo Kasha. Kancha Nigmumu Kancha Nekru. One is where the nails that are gone entirely, that's nekru. The other is where they're just worn down, but they're not gone entirely. Arba chamesh mutter, so we said four or five mutter. Well, hasha chamesh shari arba mibai. If four are left, it's mutter. If when five are left, it's mutter. Of course, when four are left, it would be mutter. Why would you say four or five? Am Rav Chista arba misandal katan, v'chamesh misandal gadol. That four on a small sandal, five on a large sandal. Depends about on the size of the sandal. V'Rebbe matir at sheva, Rebbe was matir up until seven. V'atanya Rebbe matir at shlosh esrei. But then we have a brisa just before that says Rebbe's matir up until 13. So nota shiny. So if it, no, that was by an uneven sandal, he's matir up until 13. But otherwise, he would keep it to a lower number. Hashadas lahachi. Once we mentioned that, Rabbi Yochanan nami lo kasha, nota shiny. So we wouldn't have the kasha in Rabbi Yochanan either, meaning we asked the kasha before, Rabbi Yochanan Damar Kaman, where Rabbi Yochanan says, five, who's he going like? We had Machloka, 7 or 13, but where does 5 come in? So Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't be a problem, because he would say the Machloka 7-13 is only when it's nota, only when it's uneven. Amr of Masna, Amr of Amr of Achdavi Bar Masna, Amr of Masna, Ein Alach HaKrablaz Rabbi Shimon, that we don't paskin like the Shita of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds that you're not even allowed to be metaltel the sandal lest you come to wear it. So pshita, of course we're not going to pass like him. Yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. Since when do we ever pass like a das yachid? Yachid v'rabim, halacha is always like the rabim. Why do you need to tell me? You know, sometimes we do pass like a yachid. When we do, you need to tell me that we do, though, because that's the unusual thing. Normal, standard practice is yachid v'rabim. Halacha is like the rabim. Why would you have to tell me that we don't pass in like the yachid? So ma'al d'tema mistav retayim to b'lov z'rabi shimon b'ha kamash mlan. I might have thought that it's extremely logical, and when the yachid says something that's extremely logical, we would pascha like him, so I might think that we would pascha like Rabbi Rabbi Shimon in this case, since what he's saying is so extremely logical, so kamash malan, that we don't pascha like him. That's what the Rambam writes in the Akdama to the Pirush HaMishnayis, that the reason that we always write the Divrei Yachid, even though we're always going to pascha like the Rabbim, is because sometimes the halacha is like the Yachid, because sometimes what he says is something that's a svara pshuta, so it's coming to tell us. That's why we record both shitos. Why don't we just record the Divrei Yachid to tell us that rule, that when the Divrei Yachid is a Svara Pshuta, you follow the Divrei Yachid against the Divrei Rabim. Kamash Malan over here, that it's not such a Svara Pshuta. Amr Rabbi Chiya, Ilav de Karubi Bavlai Shari Yisurei. You see, this this concern comes up a couple of places in Shas, that people were concerned to be matir for things that they thought were mutter because they were afraid it would ruin their reputation, that they'd get a reputation of being someone who's matir too much. That's the Beidina de Shara Mishcha, the Gemara talks about in a couple of places in Shas, in Gittin, in Avodah Zarah primarily, the Beizin that was matir the oil. They got this name as the Beizin that gave the big heter because they were matir, Shem and Akum. So over here also, he said, if not for the fact that people who call me the Babylonian who's matir all these Yisurim, the Karli Bavlai Shari Yisure, Sharina Beituva, I would have allowed with many nails. Vikama, Pumdisa Amrin Esen Varba, he would have allowed up until 24 nails. Basura Amrin Esen Vitartin, the Surah they set up until 22 nails. Amrin Nachman Yitzchak, when Nachman Yitzchak says, you want to remember which one said 24, which one said 22, Vesimanayach, a good simon is Ada Asim Pumdisa Lusura Chasatarti. Now when you walk from Pumdisa to Surah, two nails are going to fall out of your shoe already. So that's that way you'll remember that it's two less nails in Surah than it is in Pumdisa. Okay, we'll pick up from the two dots tomorrow.